Morning, church. How y'all doing? It is good to be with all of you. It matters that you're here. Thank you, George. That was awesome. I want to go to Israel now, so I'm not sure what God's going to do with that. But it is great to be with all of you. As we looked at jumping into today, it is the new year. I know there's tons of New Year's resolutions. I'm not sure what brought you here to church today. If you've been coming for a while, if this is your first time in a long time stepping foot inside a church, or maybe the first time ever. And so some of you may be here today because of a New Year's resolution to engage your faith again or to explore that there has to be more to life than good grades, money, or endless stream of new products to consume. And perhaps you woke and were almost compelled out of bed and carried along this morning, and you couldn't even really articulate why you were here this morning. We all come into the space for many, many reasons. And I believe we're here because God is in pursuit of each and every one of us, each and every one of you. And I believe he is saying today, come and see. He's inviting you to come and follow me. And that's what this series has been about, come and follow. And the question that we're going to be really leaning into today is, what kind of God says, come and follow me? Seriously, what kind of God says, come and follow me? And what happens if we do? What happens when we do that? Especially if we have questions or we're seeking answers or we have doubts. And I love what George already kind of set the tone of is God loves questions. And I believe he's saying to each and every one of us, whatever questions, whatever you're seeking, whatever doubts you have, he's saying, come and see, come and follow me. And so before we go any further, I just want to pray for our time. I believe God is speaking today. I believe he wants to speak to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that this morning you and your words would carry to the hearts and minds of each one of us here, Lord. I know that that's beyond my ability. Kyle said earlier to me, and it feels so true, it can be like trying to finger paint up here like a child and make something beautiful, and it's only you who can do that, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would move through your text, through this time, through the rest of our service here today, and that people would experience your presence, your voice, your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we could all see who it is who calls us to come and see, and we would experience your grace in the midst of that. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Our story today is going to be jumping into the text in 1 John, if you have a Bible, or on an app, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, we have free ones at the Info Center. We'd love for you to have a free gift before you leave here today. You can grab one of those. We will have the text on the screen as we go forward, but as we go, which I don't want it up there yet, the story takes place, and it begins on the eastern side of the Jordan River in the area of Bethany, which is parallel to Jericho, and John the Baptist is out in the wilderness in this area. He's dressed in camel skin, leather belt, he's eating locusts and honey, living off the land. I mean, it's a little crazy scene. And this guy is calling people to repentance, to turn away from sin and prepare for the Lord's coming. And he is drawing crowds. I mean, people are coming from all over to engage with John the Baptist and hear his message and see what he's talking about. Religious leaders and teachers are coming to this space to engage with John the Baptist, and they're asking, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? Or are you Elijah, the one who's to become before? And into all this, John is saying, no, I'm not the Messiah, and I'm not Elijah. And they're saying, well, who are you? And he answered with the words of Isaiah. He said, no, I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way of the Lord's coming. And so people keep coming to him, and on this one particular day, he says, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. Which that had to get people's attention. They're like, oh my word, he's in our midst. Who is it? You can imagine the prideful teachers being like, it might be me. I mean, maybe, right? In the midst of all this, and then he says he sees Jesus walking towards him, and he cries out, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And people look at Jesus, and I imagine they probably thought, really? Because it says he didn't look great. I mean, he wasn't like this amazing leader that you would just be like, that's him. It was unassuming. They didn't even recognize him. And our story picks up in 1 John chapter verse 35, chapter 1, right after that. Right after all this takes place, it says, "The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus." And this is always the first step towards genuine discipleship, a choice to follow Jesus. And remember, last week we said, what kind of person follows Jesus? It's the person that knows they need Jesus. So they hear John saying, "He's the Lamb of God. He's the one from heaven, the sacrifice for everyone." And they go, I need that. And so they turn and they follow Jesus. And I long for all of you, every single person in this room, that you would choose to follow Jesus all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Through the highs and the lows, on the good days and the down and out days. Through the highlights and the heartaches. Because I have nothing and no one greater to point you towards than Jesus. Jesus is my message. He is the one who came for us from heaven. He's the hope of the world, full of grace and truth, the only name by which we are saved, and to know him is to know life to the full. He is the best thing I have to offer. And when they hear John the Baptist saying, "This is the Lamb of God," they leave John and they follow Jesus. And check this out, in the midst of all this, they're following him, and it says, Jesus looked around and saw them. "What do you want? What do you want?" And they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" So they just heard John, their teacher, tell them that this is the Lamb of God. And notice they didn't call him that. They just said, "Teacher, where are you staying?" Just kind of an odd question, a little intimate. If someone asked that in these day and age, if someone's famous or someone called out, I doubt they would. You know, if I met LeBron James and said, "Where are you staying?" I don't think he's going to give me that answer. And yet Jesus says, "Come and see. Come and see." I think those are three of the most profound words in Scripture. Because when we say, what kind of God says, "Come and follow me," or "Come and see," the God who says this, "Come and see," and "Come and follow me," is only possible if he's literally there, if he's present in your midst. Do you recognize him? It's only possible if the God, the creator of everything, came down to us. He had to make this possible. And it describes a God who's both relational and invitational. Who it's not just about good works and all these things you can do, that he wants a relationship with you. He wants to have conversation with you. He wants to invite you to come and see. And some of you may be wondering, how do I get to know God? Or how do I get to know him better? Like, that's just a place you're at, a question you have. And the answer is always the same. It's through Jesus. Jesus is the one. How you connect to God and get to know him more. And where it says they followed, it says, he says, "Come and follow." And they went that afternoon at around 4 o'clock, and they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. The rest of the day. What would you do if you could just spend a day with Jesus? Have you ever done it? Some of us struggle to just carve out 15 minutes for Jesus. I encourage you, this week, will you spend some time with Jesus? Maybe you don't have a day, a whole day. Maybe you have an hour or 30 minutes or 20 minutes. Whatever it is, will you spend time with Jesus? I actually spent my 21st birthday with Jesus. I know, kind of an odd one, right? Your 21st birthday you spent with Jesus. Yes, I did. I moved to University of New Hampshire. I didn't know anyone. It was November. I didn't have a ton of friends yet. No one really knew it was my birthday. I'm out there. I'm all alone. My family's way at home. All my friends are far away. And I was like, what am I going to do? Pity party? I didn't have social media, so I couldn't get stuck in that. You know, oh, my word. Oh, look at me. What I don't have. So I guess I had a few more freedoms. But in the midst of that, I wake up, I was like, I'm spending this day with Jesus. I was excited to spend the day with Jesus. I slept in. I woke up, I had breakfast with Jesus. I got in the Word with Jesus. I went to a movie with Jesus. I'm serious. I went to a steakhouse with Jesus. People didn't know it, but right across from me, I mean, King of Kings, we're sitting there, amazing meal. He didn't touch any of the food. I went for a walk with Jesus. By the end of the day, I'm like, this was amazing. I will never forget my 21st birthday because I spent it with Jesus. And he is always, always inviting us to come and see him, to spend more time with him. What would you do if you spent a day with Jesus? Or even a little bit of time, because when you spend time with Jesus, when you sit in his grace and love, when you yield to his ways and let him refine your heart and mind of the evil and sin that's in each one of us, when you allow him to heal your brokenness and your pain, when you allow him to be exposed to your lies and replace them with truth, when you find joy and laughter with him and in him alone, your life is transformed. You're changed when you go and spend time with Jesus. And that's exactly what happened, because they remained with him the rest of the day, but the day's not done. Like later on, we're gonna see the next day. So this is still the same day. And it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. And Andrew went to find his brother that night, Simon, and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. This guy who came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, teacher, is now finding his brother and saying, bro, we found him, the Messiah. And then he doesn't stop there. It says, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. And I don't know how late this is. Could you imagine? Like, yeah, you again, Andrew? Come on, you did this last week. I have no idea the circumstances. Maybe this is a thing. But Andrew's like, I found him. So Simon goes to meet Jesus, and looking intently at Simon, when it says intently, I mean that the words there, it's saying that he locked in gaze with him in a sustained and concentrated way, communicating interest and love. I have no long how long that went. Can you imagine? Jesus. And you're Simon like, I mean, this is the Lion of Judah. I can't stare into the face of the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, and not have it communicate volumes. And in that moment, he said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. In the scripture, your name is your destiny. And when Jesus names us, it changes everything about our life. Because you see, what happens when we actually come to see Jesus or we choose to follow him is we get to come and see him, but we don't get to stay the same. He changes us, and he changes our destiny when we encounter him. That's what happened. That day, Simon went to see Jesus because of his brother, and he stared into the face of his creator and was given a new name. And if you know the rest of the New Testament, his destiny was changed. Look how much Peter went on to do and say and write. God came for us, each and every one of us. And I love what it says there, that this all came about as a result of Andrew sharing with his brother and inviting him to meet Jesus. You see, the greatest thing that we can do for someone else is to connect them to Jesus, because he can do more in a few minutes than you can possibly do in a lifetime. Jesus can do more in someone's life in a few minutes than you can possibly do in a lifetime of trying to reach them. And the transfer of information and emotion that comes through one look from Jesus is unparalleled. I mean, the impact of a gaze from the King of Kings cannot be measured. And it can ripple for generations as the stories of these engagements are told over and over, whether in family or even in story like this. And many of you in this room, you know what that's like. You've stared and been seen by Jesus in your own life, but others, you may be seeking him. You may be wondering, does God see me? Is everything I've heard actually true? Will he really accept me? I mean, look at all this stuff I've done that's so horrible. And you know what the scriptures say? Over and over and over. Deuteronomy 4:29, Proverbs 8:17, Jeremiah 29:13, they all say the same thing, that if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. Not half-hearted, like all in. I want to see you. I want to follow you. I want to come and see. And Jesus even said in Matthew 7 that if you ask, it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And if you have questions, I encourage you to take them to Jesus. Just begin talking to God. It's that conversation that even George said earlier in the slice. Talk with others who are following Jesus, whose life seemed to be different, who you trust and are willing to talk with. 20 years ago, that's what happened with me. It was just like Andrew and Simon. My brother was the Andrew. He got rocked by God. His life was transformed. And we're talking on the phone. He's in college. I'm not. And our conversations started to get real weird. I mean, I'm like, bro, you sound like mom. You're talking about Jesus. There was one point, one guy, I literally stopped and said, what'd you do with my brother? Because it was so foreign. I was up at home purging a bunch of stuff and cleaning out this last week, and I came across a letter folded up from my graduation from my brother. It's all about Jesus. Unbelievable. And I would pursue him, and my brother's response was just come and see. He didn't try to convince me. He knew he couldn't. But he said, just come and see. He started inviting me into spaces where I got to interact with other Christ followers and people who were legitimately pursuing Jesus, wanting to put him first in their life, were pursuing him with their whole heart. He was connecting me to Jesus. And when I encountered the King of Kings, my life was changed forever. Jesus did it for me. He can do it for you. There are men and women, people of all ages, old and young, who are seeking Jesus and they don't even know it. I believe every human was made for connection with Jesus. That's how he made us, to yearn and thirst for him. And they don't even know it. They're trying to fill it with all kinds of things. And over the Christmas break in New Year, I and the other pastors, we felt the Lord calling us as a church into a season of invitation, that we would invite others to come and see, to come and follow Jesus. I don't even know what that's going to look like or how that's going to play out, but we feel the Lord is leading to that, and not just on Sundays. You heard about home groups earlier in the announcements. They can be a fantastic space to invite other people into walking in relationship and walking along other Christ followers. If you're new and you haven't had a chance to join a group, man, talk to someone next to you before the service is over. Go to the info center, find out how. You can invite beyond Sundays too. Like, we have tons of events. You heard about spring break coming. Man, and who can you invite into that space? Who could go with you? Right now, we have our youth, our middle school and our high school are up at Spring Hill. That was a huge event, and they are leading the way, church. There are 13 chaperones on that trip. God bless them. Amazing chaos. 42 students, 21 of whom they don't call New Life home. That's a 1-to-1 ratio they ended up with, inviting people to join them in this fun, exciting, crazy winter experience up north where they can walk with people who love Jesus and hear about Jesus. And we're believing lives are being transformed. The next generation is our future, church, and they are modeling for all of us how to invite. Amen? And they're going to return this afternoon, so pray for their safety and pray for great rest for all the chaperones. Jesus can do more in a few minutes than you can possibly do in a lifetime. And it's not just with seekers, it's with doubters too. As our story continues, it says the next day, after all these events happened, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, come, follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And I love that. I think it's hilarious because what you hear there is Philip is like, we found the one, and the text actually says Jesus found him. And isn't that the truth? I mean, we search and we search in life, and then we finally encounter God, and we're like, I found him, and we realize he's actually been searching us and longing for us long, way longer than we ever were looking. And that's the truth in this day and age. There are people who are searching, and God has been searching for them way longer, and we have an opportunity to connect them to Jesus. And what's interesting in this whole part where he's talking to them is look how much training Philip had. I mean, we don't even know other than, I mean, it said, well, he's from the same town as these other two, so that's something for you. But it doesn't say he walked with them long or anything, but he was convinced, and he took the little he knew, I experienced Jesus, and I can tell someone about that. And so he goes and gets this other. But sometimes when we share about Jesus, the response may come out like this, and it's not always, oh, that's awesome. Listen to this. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? I mean, some of you are laughing because you're like, yeah, I've had that experience. Total doubter, skepticism. I was trying to think, what's that phrase interaction like in our day and age? It would probably be like, Christianity? Can anything good come from Christianity? I mean, that hits a little closer to home, right? Like, that's something we hear in this day and age. And check this out. This is really instructive for the church, for all of us. Look at Philip's response. Come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. He doesn't argue. No dismissal. No counterpoint or defense. Just an invitation. Why don't you come and see for yourself? We are not here to give people all the answers, people. We are here to introduce people to the answer, and his name is Jesus. We're not here to give all the answers. We're here to introduce people to the answer, and his name is Jesus. And check this out. Watch how Jesus responds to a doubter. He says, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. Nathanael's still skeptical. How do you know about me? And then Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Nathanael's mind is blown, and he exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus knows him, and he sees him. And when you know that you know that you know that the God of the universe sees you and knows you personally, everything changes. You will never be the same. For me, one of the biggest moments of doubt in my life came when I surrendered to vocational ministry. And I believe everyone is called to ministry. I believe every profession and every job is a place where you can love and follow Jesus, that you can follow his calling and love others, and that you can bring glory to God. That said, a few of us actually get called to full-time vocational ministry. And when I was called to follow Jesus into working for his church, I ran. I said, no, thank you. I ran for 4 hard years, and it was not 4 years of like resume platform building of what to do to be a pastor. I was undermining that profession as much as I could. And when Jesus finally shows up, and I'm connected with him, and he's looking at me, and I realize he sees me, I didn't get that cool line like Nathanael, a man of complete integrity. No. I had none. I didn't get that. I had just a laundry list of reasons you would not choose Jay. Not fit. Not qualified. Not trustworthy. Too fearful. I mean, just a huge list. But what I did get is I got God saying, I see you. I got God saying, I know you. And I got him saying, I am enough. And I confessed my doubts to Jesus, and they melted away like a thaw in the spring, and I experienced new life well up within me. You see, doubt is often one of two things: excuses because of personal lack, or protection because of personal pain. Let's say it again. Doubt is often excuse because of personal lack, or protection because of personal pain. And in that moment, in that call, I had both of those. I would just tell, I'm not enough. If you know the story of Moses when he's called to go talk to the Pharaoh and his whole, that was me. I can't speak. I don't like public speaking. I can't do this. I don't know your Bible. I don't know the word. I got no answers. I mean, and he was like, I know my Bible. I got words. I'm enough. I was like, stop doing that. And then there was pain. I was like, I've been in the church. I've been hurt by the church. I don't like the church. God's like, I know. It's mine. I can I can meet you in that. I can take care of you. And every doubt I have had in the journey of faith since then, or it's just in life, it always comes back to these two things. A couple years ago when we did the 10-year vision, I was like, I felt like the Lord was saying, use some of your gifts, bring those to bear. And I'm like, people don't like those gifts. People don't like me leading that way. That's just total protection, total fear. I don't know if you can do it there. I've only done it in a small place. Even in my marriage, as recent as this week, there's things in my marriage, pain points in my marriage, things where I just feel lacking. I'm like, I don't have what it takes, and I don't think God will do anything. Or there's things where I have pain from experience, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm just doubting that God's gonna do anything. And you know what he keeps doing? Inviting me to lean in and trust him over and over. And I'm a pastor, and I have those existential moments. You all have them, I know you do, where you just something late at night, morning, whatever. You're just like, is this really all true? Like, is this all true? Is Jesus real? And you kind of freak out. Anyone? Am I alone? All right, I'm not. For me, it's pretty big because I'm a pastor and I put my life into this. And so in those moments, you know what I do? I'm like, I got to get away from all this stuff. And I go back and I go, I know Jesus is real. I know I've experienced him. I know he sees me and he knows me. He's not just a historical person. And I can stand on my experience of Jesus and the doubts fade away. And I don't have all the answers. We could sit down in a conversation. You could probably give me 100 questions that I can't answer. I'm just going to try George's thing and ask you more questions. Turn that right around if we do it. So I welcome that all day. But I'll tell you this. The answer to our seeking and doubting is to come and see Jesus and invite others to come and see Jesus. And if you want to know why, I just want to read the last part of this. As Jesus is speaking to this doubter, he says, he asked him, do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. You, all of you in this building, are going to see greater things in your walk with Jesus than you could possibly imagine. And then he said, I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. What kind of God says, come and see? What kind of God says, come and follow me? It's the one who literally is the stairway. The one who is God, yet came down and makes a way for us to have relationship and invitation. And if you have not yet surrendered, I encourage you just to yield to whatever God is inviting you to in 2020. Don't wait, do it today. If he's saying come and see in any area of your life or come and follow, will you do that today? I'm gonna pray and the band's gonna come up. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is both relational and invitational. God, I thank you for how you are at work in our midst, how much you love us, that you came for us, that you died for us, that you rose from the dead. And Lord, I thank you that you take us with all our questions, all our struggles, all our doubts, and you still say, come and see. Though we lack, you have plenty. What we don't know, you know all. Lord, I thank you that you see us and that you know us. I pray that we would experience your presence here in the midst right now. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.